As Dan said, I'm David, one of the members here at St. George's, and it's great to be able to share God's word with you as we celebrate Christmas this year. During the week, I was trying to think of a clever way to introduce tonight's sermon, and because I lack imagination, I just stole something from someone else. And I happened to come across this website and an accompanying booklet. It's called Four Kinds of Christmas. That's one of those little kind of web quizzes that asks you a few questions about what you think about Christmas, and that from that it assigns you one of four options. The four options are there. You can see them in the pictures here. There's option number one is Scrooge, like what kind of Christmas are you? Maybe you're the Scrooge kind of Christmas. That's the humbug from Dickens' A Christmas Carol. This is the person who sees the darkness and brokenness in our world, but really has no place for hope and light, either now or in the future. Or maybe you're the shopper, the person who, again, kind of doesn't see much hope or light in this world, but unlike Scrooge, lives for the moment. Let's eat and drink and shop, for tomorrow we die. Well, there's option number three, the Santa Christmas. Maybe you're the Santa Christmas, the person who chooses really to kind of deny or ignore the brokenness and darkness in our world, wishing for things or blessing or fortune from some distant power who rewards the good. Are you one of those three, all right? Perhaps. Or then the fourth option is the one that the website and author prefers, the stable, a picture the Bible gives for Christmas, a picture that admits the brokenness in our world and presents the Most High God as one who turns up in our brokenness, bringing the rescue and blessing we truly long for. I wonder which kind of Christmas are you as you come here tonight to celebrate with us at St. George's? I did the quiz, of course, but I think sadly my fate was sealed at the Christmas movie question. It's like, you know, a multiple choice question, and obviously I picked that classic Christmas film, Die Hard, and I ended up with being a Scrooge Christmas, would you believe? What would it be for you? Scrooge, shopper, Santa, stable. You know, that stable options, it should make us a bit curious, shouldn't it? You know, if there is a God, why would he come near to live with us? Especially turning up in such a strange circumstances as in a stable. I mean, many of us, I think, we often rarely think about the God who made us. So why would God turn up as a human? Why would this God enter into our world of suffering and brokenness and darkness? I mean, just think about the world, the year that's gone by. Well, to find out, we're going to look at some of the Christmas story and its background from the Bible. But before we do that, let me pray, because we need God's help when we read his word. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that the true Christmas story has been written down for us. Please help us to understand what we read and respond to you in trust and obedience. Amen. Well, our story, which was read to us by Di from Matthew's account of Jesus' life, it begins with Joseph in a slightly awkward situation. Perhaps you know the story, you're familiar with it. He's pledged to be married to Mary, but unfortunately she's become pregnant and he's not the father. He is going to divorce her quietly. The Bible says he's righteous and faithful to the law. But then an angel appears to give him confidence to go ahead with things, to give him confidence to take Mary as his wife. In verse 32, Matthew gives us a bit of a hint as to what's going on here. The angel says, Matthew says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And then there's a quote. You see, Matthew thinks that to understand what's going on here, we first need to understand what God has said long ago, long before. In fact, we need to go back some 700 years to the time of one of Joseph's ancestors, a man called Ahaz, who was king in Jerusalem. And that was our first reading that Dan so helpfully read for us. Thank you. Because it turns out that at the time that Matthew is referring to, back at the time of Ahaz, well, there was a threat to Ahaz and his people. We didn't read this bit, but if we'd read the bit just before, we would have found out that the threat that he is facing is that there is an invading army coming against him and his people. And unsurprisingly, they are shaken and afraid. And so God sends his messenger, the prophet Isaiah, to Ahaz. And he tells him to keep calm, calm down, because these enemies that are coming, well, they won't be successful. That sounds like good news, but apparently Ahaz is a little bit unconvinced. And so God helps him in his unbelief. This is what we see in verse 11 from our first reading. God says to Ahaz, ask for a sign. Whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. And Ahaz refuses that offer, but God gives him the sign anyway. This is verse 14. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. It's a name that signals that God hasn't given up on his people and in their situation with this invading army. God's with them. There's hope. Hope that they will be okay. You know, in the chapters that follow chapter 7, the idea of a son keeps coming up. A royal son from the king's family. And there's increasingly grand claims made about this coming son. So much so that, well, it seems that the son on view in Isaiah can't ultimately be just referring to someone born in the day of Ahaz. There's something bigger going on. And so it is that 700 years later, we get another son mentioned, born into that same Jewish royal family. And as we've seen, Matthew explicitly links the birth of that son with the sign given back in Isaiah. That means the things that were going on in the time of Ahaz, those things will inform how we understand the birth of this new son. We need Isaiah to understand Jesus. You see, 700 years earlier, Ahaz faced a threat and a need for a rescue. And there's also a rescue and therefore implied threat in the words the angel speaks to Joseph. Did you notice them, I wonder? Have a look in verse 21. Mary will give birth to a son who will be named Jesus. Why Jesus? It means God saves. Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This son will be a rescuer. Not a rescuer from an invading army, like Ahaz needed, but a rescuer, the angel says, from our sins. You know, typically I think that we don't always think about sin as something we need to be rescued from. truth be told, other dangers in our world seem much more present and pressing, don't they? We worry and fear climate change and potential for floods and cyclones and bushfires at this time of year happening around our country right now. We worry about inequality and injustice in our world, the cost of living. We worry about war. Again, think of our world this year. You know, I think if Australia was faced with impending war on our own shores, how would you feel about that? Imagine there was an invading army coming here. It's kind of one thing to see how terrible it is in other parts of the world, isn't it? But imagine it was here. I think that would really shake us. It would shake me, wouldn't it? But sin? Not so much. What is sin? Sin, in the Bible, sin is a heart attitude that rejects God and puts self first. And the Bible says that actually, despite all the terrible things around us that happen, sin is our biggest problem. Much bigger even than an invading army were it to come to an Australia. Because sin and broken relationship with God, that's what leads to all the other brokenness in our world. I wonder, do we see ourselves as God does? As people in a dire situation who need rescue? You see, like Ahaz, we face a threat and need a rescue. And Jesus was born as that rescuer, one to save us from our sin, to bring us back into right relationship with the God who made us, to restore from that the whole world. Next, just like he did for Ahaz, God gives a sign so that we can believe this message with confidence. This message that he is with us and will rescue us from all that is wrong in our broken and black world. What's that sign? Well, no surprises for guessing. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And so at Christmas, that's what we're remembering. We're remembering the sign and the thing that the sign points to, that God entered into our world in the person of his son. God comes to us in our brokenness, in our time of need, to bring rescue and hope. Of course, a sign by itself isn't so useful, is it? Because when you see a sign, what you really need to do is stop and read it and pay attention to it and act on it. So the question that this part of the Bible leaves us with is, what will we do with this sign? What will you do? What will I do with this sign that God has given us? The sign of the birth of a son at Christmas. See, perhaps you've come tonight and you see the darkness and brokenness in our world. You see relationships gone wrong in your own life, in the people around you, in your family, and you long for something better. If that's you, then the sign of Jesus' birth is for you tonight. I want to invite you to look at what that sign's pointing to. Look to Jesus who came, born in a stable. Admit that we face the threat of sin and judgment, and place your hope and trust in Jesus who rescues from that and brings us back into God's family. Maybe you still have questions. That's okay. If you're here as someone who doesn't trust Jesus, we're so glad you've come. Come back and join us at St. George's over January, and we'll be looking at more signs pointing to who Jesus is and why he came into the world. It's worth checking out. For others, let me return to our four kinds of Christmas. What does this sign have to say to us? Perhaps you're like Scrooge at Christmas, bitter, without hope now in the brokenness of our world, no hope for the future. I can be a bit like Scrooge at Christmas, causing much grief to my Christmas-loving wife, for those who know her. But you know, the sign of Jesus' birth reminds us that the brokenness, it's not just out there with others. You see, Scrooge, what does he do? He looks at everybody else. That's where the problem is. But no, the sign of Jesus' birth tells me that that brokenness is caused by my own sin and my own selfishness. Jesus came into the world to do something about sin and brokenness, about my sin and brokenness, about yours. And he offers forgiveness and a transformed life. Not through kind of some ghostly visitors, but through a transformed life that helps us to say no to selfishness and yes to living for others. Are you a bit like a bit of a Scrooge at Christmas? But deep down you know that the people you really hurt are those you love. The sign of Jesus' birth offers a new start in a family characterized by selfless love. Does that sound like something you'd like? Or perhaps you're like the shopper at Christmas. This life is all we have. There's nothing after death, no hope beyond the grave. So let's just live it up now. If that's how you think, then the sign of the birth of Jesus, well, it gives the real hope, a real hope for the future. You see, even if we manage to successfully distract ourselves with stuff and pleasures now, death still comes to us all, doesn't it? But Jesus, again, he offers something better. He offers rescue from sin that leads to death and a meaningful life in his family for now and into eternity. Again, does that sound like something you'd like? Better than shopping. Or maybe you're like that third option, the Santa Christmas. The Santa Christmas kind of lives in denial that there's anything really that wrong with the world. A world that's so badly broken that we can never fix it ourselves. Maybe you even like the idea of God, but your God is distant and you really only think about him when you're really in trouble or really need something. But you know, the God of the Bible is not like that. The sign of Jesus' birth shows us that our God is not distant, but has come near. He's turned up. Nobody has seen Santa Claus, but Jesus was born into this world in space and time. And Jesus' birth shows us that no matter how much we pretend, our world is broken. You know, I was listening on the way here. They played on the radio that John Lennon song and from So It Is Christmas, and it's like, and there's one line in it which says about next year, let's hope it's a good one without tears or something like that. I don't know the song well enough. I just thought, wow, what an empty hope. Maybe for John Lennon, not for too many others. No. Jesus offers true hope. He came down and gives us a gift that we don't deserve, fixing the brokenness, restoring the brokenness in our world to save us from our sin, bringing us true joy and hope. So how will you respond this Christmas to the sign of Jesus' birth? Have you admitted your own sin, selfishness, brokenness, and need for a Saviour? Have you put your hope and trust in Jesus to bring that rescue? And if not, why not? Why not do it tonight? Find hope and forgiveness and true joy in him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, into the world, born in a stable, born for us, born to rescue from sin. Please help us to pay attention to this sign and place our hope and trust in him. Amen.